me. Be here together today. In 1 John 2 and verse 1 and 2 said, "My little children, these things I write to you that so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." I encourage you to open your Bible there, and we want to think about the message that John has for us here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Speaking about the fact of the church being like a family, reminded me that John and Claudia recently moved away from here, the O'Neill family with Jack and Jennifer, and we've been staying in touch with them with some letters and hearing back and forth from them. And one of the things that Claudia said a lot is how much they miss all of us here. And that Jack and Jennifer really miss their friends here, being good friends with the King family, with Rachel and Abby and Tyler and Gabe, and that they have a lot of young people in the congregation they're attending, but that so far they haven't really been able to make friends with them. They're kind of the new people and new family, and so they really haven't been able to make those friends and feel the same bond that with here. So they really miss all of us. And I think they need our prayers and our encouragement. So I would encourage you to remember them and send them a card or stay in touch with them, that they would know that you care about them. And speaking of the Kings, they're going to be leaving today to take their children down to the camp in Oregon, the Florida College Bible Camp this week. And so want to be thinking about them on their driving down there. Here in 1 John chapter 2 in verses 1 and 2, one of the first things that we see that John is aiming to do in this writing of this is to show us the seriousness of sin in our lives. And his message being here, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." So his message is, do not sin. He wants us to see that sin is a very serious thing. It is a crime against God. It is the transgression of God's law. John reminds us of the definition of sin in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, when he said that whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That is the New King James Version, and the King James Version, the Old King James Version, is the statement, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the violation of the law of God. And in the New King James rendering of it, it's saying that sin is lawlessness. And so sin really is an insubordination of God in our lives. That when God gives us his law and he reveals his law to us, and he says, for example, concerning marriage, concerning the marriage bond that we have, that when we enter into the marriage relationship, one of the things that God makes very clear is what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so if we divorce in our marriages, then we are, in effect, we are saying to God, we disregard your law. we love you, Lord. We want to honor you, but we disregard your law. We go ahead and divorce our wives. Or whenever God says to us, put away from you as Christians all deceit. And yet when we file our tax returns, we do not have truthful information with our tax return. Again, we're saying to God, we disregard your law. That sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we love knowing that about that, that he died for our sins, but it's not worth my keeping your law. It does not keep me from committing sin against your law and transgressing your law. It's a very serious thing then to commit sin against God. And John wants us to understand that. He wants to emphasize that maybe as much as any other thing that John says in that letter is he is saying us, Christians, please understand what I'm saying. Do not sin in your life against God. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. When God tells us to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and yet we disregard that and we do not take the time to teach our children about God and His Word, we are in effect insubordination against God. Now we understand that in our work, for us to be insubordinate of our employer, of those in authority over us, would be viewed very seriously. If we were to be known and identified that we are an insubordinate person to proper level of authority within the company that we are employed for, we understand that would be a serious charge, a serious violation of the trust that we have. John is emphasizing then that we need to understand as Christians how serious sin is as the transgression of the law of God. Today in our society, among civilized people, sin is not considered a very serious thing anymore. It is usually considered to be something that we have many rationalizations for it, to cover it, to explain it, to call it some other name. But people in our society today do not consider sin to be a very serious thing. When we think about the fact that sin is insubordination against the Creator, against the one who created this universe, and yet we are being insubordinate to Him and disregarding His laws, is there any more serious charge or violation that we could be guilty of than that in the eyes of God? So he emphasizes to us not only that it is, but the Bible reminds us and points out that sin is a universal problem. That the truth is that all of have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is a problem of which we are all in the same condition as far as our sin is concerned against God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the punishment of sin is very severe if not acquitted, if it is not acquitted before God. And we understand that God is a merciful God, and that God has given us our lifetime, and He is long-suffering with us. But if our sin is not acquitted within our lifetime, you see, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death. And when James was describing sin, how it operates in our life, he said that we are drawn away, each man is drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And sin, when it is conceived, temptation, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, he says, brings forth death. So the punishment of it is very severe. John is speaking here about sin as if in a courtroom situation, that we are on charge and we are on trial for our sin, but a defense counsel has been appointed for us, Jesus Christ. So John's message to us is in three parts here, that he is giving us this message in regard to sin. That number one, don't sin. I am writing to you, my little children, that you may not sin. But he is then saying, don't despair when you sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And his third point is that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin, but he is the not only for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. Jesus Christ is the solution for sin. God has made it known to us that we are not to sin. That sin is very serious in the eyes of God. And that as a Christian, we must not take with the view that now that I have received the blessing of Christ's sacrifice, I have some leeway to be able to commit sin. The answer to that is no. We are not to view our sin that way. We are not to sin. But if anyone does sin, do not despair, because Jesus Christ is our advocate, and he is the propitiation of our sin, not ours only, but also the sin of the entire world. That raises the question with us, what is an advocate, and what is the role of an advocate? You see, the word advocate that is used in the by John here in the Greek language, the word paraclete, parakletos, but it is made of two parts to that word, which means to call to one's side, to call beside. And we see that it has the meaning then of a legal assistant, one who is called to your side when you are charged with a crime. A counsel for the defense, an advocate, one who pleads your case in front of the judge. And of course, he is describing a situation here, a legal courtroom situation in which we are standing before the judge. We are standing before the Father, before God. Looking at this, it appears to be saying and implying that this is not a jury trial. We understand that in our country, we have the provision made very clear through our Constitution that if we commit a crime, we have the right to a trial by a jury of one's own peers. And some of you have served on the jury to understand probably the full benefit of that and how it works, that you are tried in a court in our country in front of a jury of your own peers, and you are considered innocent until proven guilty. But John is describing a situation different from that. He is describing where you are standing before the judge, God the Father. And God the Father is a God of holiness. You are standing before him, and the crime charged against you is that you have sinned and transgressed the laws of God. The good news is you have an advocate, and you need that advocate, and that advocate is Jesus Christ. Five times in the New Testament, this word, paraclete, is used. Four of those times, it is referring to the Holy Spirit. We understand, if you're familiar with the Gospel of John, that in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, when Jesus was preparing to go to the Father, he talked about the fact several times there that if I go away, I will send to you the Holy Spirit, who will be your advocate. He will be your comforter. He uses this very same word. And there are four times there in the Gospel of John that he speaks about the Holy Spirit coming to be our comforter, to be with us in the absence of Jesus. And that's intended for our comfort and our strengthening, knowing that God has promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what he is referring to here in 1 John is that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. So here we are in the courtroom. We are standing before the judge, and we have been charged with sin. But the good news is we have as our defense counsel Jesus Christ the righteous. And he has never lost a case. See, he is the perfect person to be on our advocacy, on our side, defending us before the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That is the case that he is going to plead. Father, the sacrifice I have given is a perfect sacrifice, and you have accepted that sacrifice. And this is one of your children that this sacrifice has been applied to their sin. Therefore, Jesus cannot lose that case. He has never lost a case. He is your attorney. And we need him as that advocate that is on our side. So we have a perfect advocate. Perfect advocate. And Jesus says that he is perfect by virtue of his identity. His identity is that he is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now in his very name that he, when Jesus was born here, his mother, the angel instructed her that he will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His very name meant salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And Jesus, by having that name, is very symbolic and very meaningful that he is salvation to us. And in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was speaking with his disciples, and he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter who spoke to him and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now the word Christ means the Messiah, the anointed Messiah that God promised, who would come to be our Savior. Jesus Christ is that person. And that can be proven in many ways, but one of them by the miracles that he performed, by the teaching that he gave, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ proved that he is the Messiah. And he is our advocate. We are sitting here standing before the judge of the universe, but on our side, standing there to defend us and plead our case with the Father, is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when we consider the fact of he is righteous, he is upright, he is innocent, he is just, the Bible says that Jesus committed no sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now when God spoke about the human race, you recall that God said on several occasions in the Old Testament, Psalm 14, and in Romans chapter 3, it's quoted, "There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of God's perfect standard." But Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is righteous. As far as man, there is none righteous. No, not one. None of us are righteous in the eyes of God. But we have the one who is righteous is our advocate to plead our case with the Father. And in Luke chapter 23 and verse 47, when Jesus was being considered on trial for his death before the Jewish Sanhedrin and before Pontius Pilate repeatedly said, "I find no fault in this man." He was accused of several crimes. He was accused of blasphemy against God. He was accused of treason against the Roman government. And Pontius Pilate, a Roman official,
he examined him and he came back and he said, I find no fault in this man.
He did not feel right about condemning him to death. And yet the Jews said, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us. And so he was crucified and he died for our sins. But Jesus Christ was righteous. So by virtue of his identity, Jesus Christ is the perfect advocate to stand there on our behalf before God. And by virtue of his work, he is also the perfect advocate for us to have on our side. He is our mediator with God. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that Paul is speaking there. And he says that God, this is good and acceptable, he said, in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. We said several things there that are interesting when we think about standing before God, that God desires all men to be saved. Although God is a God who is a God of justice and righteousness, God also is a loving God. And God wants us to be saved. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. There is only one that has those qualifications. Jesus Christ, to stand between God and man to reconcile us back together. But he is also our interceder, our intercessor with God. Now, when we think about Jesus Christ, part of his work was done when he died on the cross. His sacrifice was given, his blood was shed for us. But part of his work is done after he rose from the dead and is now in heaven. He is our intercessor still at the present time with God. He is pleading on our case and on our behalf. In Romans 8 and verse 34, God said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus then is still working on our behalf in heaven, and he is making intercession for us with God. And in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, he said, therefore he is also able to save us to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Well, what is the result then of having Jesus Christ, the righteous, as our advocate, called to our side as our defense counsel? The result of that is that we are able to then be with God because he has provided an atoning sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sin. Some translation it says he is the atoning sacrifice or the propitiation. But the word propitiation in the original language, it means an expiation whereby sin is covered and remitted. And it carries the connotation that it hides the wrath of God from that sin. It covers that sin, or it deals with that sin in a way that God is not going to pour out his wrath against that sin. Effectively, then, the sin is forgiven. It is atoned for. It is covered in the eyes of God. So when Jesus was here on earth, he qualified himself by the fact that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he gave the perfect sacrifice, he is righteous, he was raised from the dead. His sacrifice is the atonement. And it seems it seems ironic, too good to be true, that the one who is our advocate is the perfect atonement. It is His own sacrifice that He is able to plead on our behalf with God, that we might be able to have atonement and forgiveness of sin. John's message then is a wonderful message. It is such an encouragement to us. Now, on the one point, he says, do not sin. Sin is very serious against God. And everything that John is saying is to drive home the effect of sin, that God wants us as His children not to sin. In fact, he talks about this in chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, we see how serious sin is, because he who sins is of the devil. Which song are you walking to? Which song are you following the beat of in your life? Are you walking to the tune of the song of Jesus? Or are you walking to the tune of the song of Satan? Following that in your life, well, sin reveals the answer to that in our life. Who are we following? Whose life are we living? His message is, don't sin. But in saying that, he says, but if anyone does sin. So we see that John balances this in a way so that we do not become despairing as Christians. He does not tip the scale to the way of, it's okay for us to sin, it's not serious, it's something that is, God understands that we cannot avoid sin. He is very strong when it comes to the point, as Christians, we must overcome sin. But at the same time, he recognizes the fact that if we sin, do not despair. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but those for the whole world. Even when Jesus was here on earth, He pointed to the fact that when I die, I'm not just dying for you, I'm dying for the whole world. And one of the charges that was even brought up by the high priest, and this was an amazing thing that happened in John chapter 11, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and the high priest was speaking, they were conferring about this among themselves, and he said, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. And he said, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. In other words, Jesus understood, and in the plan of God, was that when he died, he would die for the whole nation of the Jews, but not just for that nation, he would die for all nations of people. Jesus Christ, then, is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only. He is the propitiation of the sins of the whole world. And it reminds us that He died for the sins of the whole world, but unless that sacrifice is accepted and applied in that person's life, they will not receive the benefits. He did not die, and therefore all people are going to be saved. Those who accept that sacrifice are going to be saved. That's why one of the last things Jesus said was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. So he gives us a responsibility in it to be involved in sharing that message with other people. But so that when we sin, understanding as serious a thing as sin is not to take it lightly, but if we do sin, the fact would
really come out to be when we sin, because it's not an if, it's when we sin.
Don't despair, because we have as our advocate, our court-appointed counsel on our defense, none other than Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sins. He is the propitiation of the sins of the whole world. He's never lost a case. He is our attorney. He is our defense counsel. So the news cannot be any better than that for those who have sinned. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. The question is Jesus Christ your advocate today? Is He your advocate today? Have you allowed Him to come into your life? Have you committed yourself to Him and His sacrifice that was given, so that when you are standing before God in your life, knowing the fact you have sinned against God, do you have Jesus Christ there as your advocate defending your case before God? That is the decision you must make. You must make that choice in your life. I want Jesus Christ as my advocate. I am going to submit my life to Him and follow Him, that I will have Him there on my behalf to stand before God. And I know that I'm going to need Him. So if you're here today, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
Come to Jesus.